Is anybody as nervous as I am? Mom, are you? Are you nervous? You know, it's interesting how the week goes. This week for me has been quite a roller coaster, you might say. We started out Monday morning, and I was stung by a bee fencing the night before, and I woke up Monday morning, I could barely see out of this eye. My whole face was swollen right up. So Andrea, she got the Benadryl out, and I took a Benadryl, and that knocked me out for about 2 days. I don't know what's in that, but whoa. But yeah, the swelling went down, and then, you know, Wednesday I was out swathing, and we got the news that Charlie Kirk had been shot, and then later we found out that he had passed, and yeah, that was his emotional ride. And then it's funny, I was just talking with Paul there, and he said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Well," or "How are you doing preparing your message for Sunday?" I said, "Well," I said, "I'm losing sleep at night, my knees are weak, and I'm worried about what I might say up here." He said, "Well, you're on the right track." So that being said, after that, Paul, he did say, he took me through a passage, and he said, "You know, when we make it about ourselves, it's not about us, it's about the Father, right? And it's what he does through us." And he just encouraged me. He said he'll give us courage, strength, and he'll give us the words to say. So thank you, Paul. Yeah. So that being said, were we able to get the map up here? It's up. Yep, there we are. Okay. So this morning, I would like us to look at Titus. I don't know. I've always been kind of drawn to the letters of Paul. Just encouragement. I think it's encouragement to us. It's just a way of life. And so what we're looking at here is if up above it is Greece, and this is the island of Crete right down here. So I always like to look at who God's using. In this passage, he's using Paul, letter of Paul to Titus, and he's using Titus, and then he's also using Crete. Now, what's interesting about the island of Crete is that it started out with the false god of Zeus. So the culture there was a little different than Greece because it was just that further out from the shore of Greece. So they were out far enough, they kind of had their own culture. So they were kind of going under the false god of Zeus, which was known for lying and deception. Yeah, if you want to open up your Bibles to Titus, let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just grateful and thankful, Father. I just ask, Lord, that you would, your words would be through me, Lord, and that we just use your word. Thank you for that, Lord, and just let us be a vessel just to take these words and use them throughout the week, Father, and just be with us now as we look at your word. Amen. We'll start out with verse 1 to 3. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and to the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God, our Savior. So if we look here, who is Paul? That's who we're talking about here. Paul was a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. What is a bondservant according to the Old Testament? The Old Testament teachings. They were slaves to the lender until the debt was paid. But in this case, Paul states that he frequently identifies himself as a bondservant of Christ, signifying that his life's abilities and resources belong to God for his purpose. So, Paul started out a bitter young man. bitter at God and bitter at Christians. He grew up under the Jewish law, and that went against his Christian faith. So, Paul's mission was to murder Christians. I'm sure lots of us know the story of Paul. He was very good at it and became famous for it. Christians feared him. Interestingly enough, he started out as Saul, named after a king, and then he became a follower of Christ. He then went by his Roman name, Paul. And the reason he did that was because he was known as Saul, somebody that murdered Christians, that went to Paul, somebody that saved Christians. He was chosen of God and the knowledge of truth, which is according to the godliness. He was chosen for good works throughout the New Testament. So, why was Paul doing this? The hope of eternal life which God promised. He was not to keep it to himself, but to share the good news. It's also interesting to me how the verse states that God cannot lie. He promises that the God that we serve cannot lie. If he could lie, the whole purpose of our faith would be in vain. It also says that at the proper time, and I believe in God's timing, there will be a display of the word and a major statement with which Paul was entrusted according to the commandments of God the Savior. So, Paul was a leader and was chosen to write letters and oversee many churches. Paul was commissioned to further the faith of God's people so that they might acquire full knowledge of Christian truth. God did elect certain people for things throughout the Bible, such as Paul. So now if we want to look at verse 4. To Titus, my true child, in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. To Titus, my child. He refers to Titus as a child of someone of the same faith, and granting him grace and peace from God, our Father, Jesus Christ, our Savior. It sounds like he might be facing some challenges in Crete. And Paul is encouraging him throughout the faith. So why is Titus so important? The letter to Titus contains two of the Bible's most significant statements concerning salvation, which God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. If we want to turn over, if you'd like to, you can look. So it would be Titus 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possessions, zealous for good deeds. That would be the first one, and then the second one would be Titus 3, verse 4 to 8. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly throughout Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we would be made hearers according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, sorry, I got to go one more here. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds these things are good and profitable for all men. So, Titus, he also was a Greek Christian, a follower of Jesus, also a trusted co-worker of Paul. So Titus spent some time with Paul. They did some problem solving, I believe, and some certain things they were involved with. Verse 5 says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed. So he was writing this to Paul. He wanted him to make a difference in Crete. What do we know about Crete? Like I said, we talked about Crete a little bit. Crete is an island right on the tip of Greece. I believe the reason they picked it was because it had many harbors, so it was kind of the central point of all the little towns and cities around there. So it had lots of traffic going through there all the time. It would have been a sound way to spread the word and to start a network of churches. So it'd be like picking the location. If you know, everybody says location, location, location. So that's very important, I think, where Crete was located. Also, the Cretan culture was notorious for betrayal, violence, sexual corruption. They couldn't be trusted. The Greek word, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, but kretzo, it means to be a liar. So they were referring to the Cretans as liars. That's what they were known for. It would be very life-changing for the Cretans to come to the Father. The details aren't clear, but the Cretans came under corrupt leaders. Which were destroying the churches that were. What was interesting to me was the leaders. They were actually saying they were Christians. They were coming in saying they were Christians, and they were destroying the churches. And they were taking over. So Paul's going to help Titus start from scratch with some new leaders. So if we go down to verse 6, their qualifications. So he's looking for kind of the qualifications. Now let's just remember, too, that he's talking to the elders, but he's also, these are qualifications for all Christians, I believe. I think he's talking to all Christians here. It's not just the elders. There's a lot of very valuable things that he's wanting us to see here, and I think they can really help us as well. Verse 6, namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. So what's he saying there? Their qualifications, they were not to have numerous wives, but with one wife, and having children that believe, not accused of a life of wasteful, unpure, worldly pleasures, which will lead to moral or spiritual decay. Not above reproach. It's talking about above reproach there. Not someone you have to question their understanding of the faith. Someone that's not of reproach would have an unblemished reputation, free from scandal or limited criticism, setting an example that doesn't contradict one's doctrine in the faith. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross should be evident in our lives, in our lifestyle, and by the way we live. Want to look at verse 7. It says, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's stewards, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not found of sordid gain. We must be living a life that displays faith. We're to not be arrogant or quick-tempered. Arrogant people often seek the spotlight. They make others feel less important. They talk over people, or they display body language that would show a lack of interest in them or what they have to say. I think it's very important that we don't be arrogant. Not quick-tempered. This one hits home for me. I get tired, and I get overwhelmed, and I get stressed, and it kicks in. I can be quick-tempered. If you've ever ran cattle, you will know how they do the opposite of what you want most of the time. So I have to work on my temper often. Just a quick illustration to that, how they will push you to the end. Here a couple weeks ago, me and the boys, we got on our horses, and so we always bring our call cows in, and then we'll ship them right away. So we got them up to the yard, and they were already getting a little tired, but we got them into the pen there. And then one of the boys said, "Dad, is the gate closed at the end of the alleyway?" I said, yeah, I looked down the alleyway. Yeah, it's closed. Okay, so we run the cows in. It wasn't chained. So they blew out, went into the yard. They were already hot. And so, long story short, when we were trying to get them back in, there was one cow that was very unruly. It smashed the side-by-sides, smashed the quad, or didn't hurt anybody, but it busted four or five fences, gates. Anyways, we got the cow in, got it all fixed. But yeah, I had to really watch my temper that day. yeah, she could have used the fruits of the spirit, that cow, that's for sure. I got the last laugh, though. She's probably in between two pieces of bread. But anyways, that's not her fault. So, not addicted to wine. If you're finding that the only joy in life is wine, if you drink till you lose control, that's not going to be a good display of Christian faith. If you want to turn quickly to me, with me, or I can just read it, it's Ephesians 5, verse 18. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." I believe that verse is saying that we're not to seek worldly pleasures. I think we need to seek our pleasure from the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, all the things that would display a good Christian living. Not pugnacious, not someone that picks fights or starts fights. It's so easy sometimes to start a fight with our actions or our words. I think about that. I don't know, maybe I shouldn't bring this up, but half of my family, my side of me and a couple of the kids, we cheer for the Oilers. Andrea and a couple of the kids cheer for the Calgary Flames. So when we're watching that game, you have to be very careful of our actions and our words, because it can start a fight, I can promise you. So we're careful when we do that. Sorry, I lost my spot here. Not for sordid gain means not someone pursuing dishonest personal gains such as wealth. Let's look at verse 8. "But hospitable, loving, what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled." We're to be hospitable. Always welcoming, always willing to treat visitors with warmth, kindness, and generosity. We are to love what is good, what is sensible, and what is just. Good means fulfilling God's purpose and good means filling God's purpose and intentions as seen throughout creation. I think an example of that, I was thinking And you know, when God created the world and everything in it, he looked back and he said, "It is good." And that was what I thought of. What is sensible? I was thinking about Joshua. What a faithful follower of God who displayed those qualities when he led the Israelites into the promised land with him. He displayed faith, strength, courage, and loyalty to God's will. We need to be just. We are to be morally right and fair in our actions, also to be devout. We should be showing commitment to our Christian beliefs and walking in such a way that is going to draw people into us by our spirit of love. The last is self-control. This is talked about many times in the Bible. Self-control is not merely human willpower, but a quality produced by the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, in a believer's life. So the verse I found was Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I think you're probably familiar with this. If I can find it. Yes, it's okay, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Where do we get self-control from? The Holy Spirit, which we get when we become a believer of Jesus Christ, we do not get self-control from following the laws. It comes only from the Father. Let's look at verse 9. Holding fast the faithful words, which is in accordance with the teachings, so that we will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. We are to hold firm to the truth as taught in the Word of God, which is in accordance with the teachings. We find the answers in the Word. We need to spend time in the Word so that we can strongly encourage others and in sound doctrine to be able to answer correctly when we have people who contradict the word. 2 Timothy 3:16, which is on the back of my Bible, says all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. There was a study done on reading the Bible. It says that people that read the Bible 1 hour a week, there's not much change. It says, and then there's these people that read the Bible a couple times a week. There's a little change. But if you read the Bible and study the Bible every day, it's life-changing. Do I struggle with reading the Bible? Absolutely. Life gets in the way for sure. But I'm trying to make a change and I'm trying to make it a habit. I also wish I had made it a priority a long time ago. I hope I can encourage you to do the same. If we look at verse 10. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. Verse 10 is saying we are not to be empty talkers and deceivers, especially like the Jewish law keepers that believe they gain salvation by keeping the laws. Verse 11. Who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not be teaching for the sake of sordid gain. They must be silenced because they are doing it for their own personal gain, not for the fathers. Verses 12 to 14. one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true for this reason. Reprove them severely so that they may not be sound, so that they may be sound in the faith. Not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. They need to correct the Cretans' ways so that they would be sound in faith, not paying attention to the Jewish laws and the commandments, because that's what turns us from the truth. Verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and the unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their conscience are defiled. It says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds are and their conscience are corrupted. Paul was addressing the false teachers in Crete. They were imposing strict legalistic rules and restrictions on believers, causing them to deny the good things that God provided. Christians who live by faith understand that God's provision is for their enjoyment, whereas legalists are burdened by their own strict interpretations. Living by faith is looking a lot better to me. And we're on the last verse of Titus 1. They profess to know God, but their deeds, they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. The so-called Christian leaders that came into the churches at Crete professed to know God, but their deeds denied him. It says they were detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deeds, not the heart of a Christian of faith. So, in conclusion, we see how faith and grace changed Paul and Titus. They both had the true heart of a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, they were able to lead people to Christ and start churches. Crete started out with one church in the second century, and by the eighth century, there were 70 Christian churches in Crete. The Cretans were once known as being liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. They're now faithful followers and good people. Can we make a difference if we are living by faith? Every person that lives through faith will make a difference, and I believe that with my heart. Like the late Charlie Kirk, he displayed his love for Jesus and people. Charlie could debate and disagree with others. He chose to respectfully disagree and tell the truth, no matter the cost. He chose Jesus and died for his faith. He went down as a believer and an American hero. And I believe because of this loving spirit that many will come to know Christ as their own personal Savior. Paul, if I could get you in the worship team. I just hope this morning that this was an encouragement to you. I've always found the letters to Paul to be an encouragement. And if you feel that the Lord's touching your life this morning, I just wished and I hope that you would ask somebody, tell somebody so that we can rejoice with you. Don't put it off. Most important decision we'll ever make in our life.